Hello and welcome to Jimmy's Three Things. My name is Jimmy, and there are three things I want to talk about in the world of Major League Baseball. One, wild card format's done. Do we like it? Do you like it? Do I like it? No. I have a better idea. Maybe you guys can help me out. Two, someone sent in, can I look at Edwin Diaz's slider? What's going on there? And three, worst calls of the postseason as far as balls and strikes go. Supposed to be the best of the best, but still getting some wrong. Those are the three things. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe, like, all that good stuff. Jimmy's Three Things is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, John Boy Media, and Workhouse Media. Quick sip of my water, and then we will begin. All right, first thing. The wild card round came and went. The Brewers and the Mets provided great drama. It went to a game three. We had great games. It was awesome. But every team that won game one won the series. And for 3 years now, in this new format, every team that has won game one has won the series. 12 for 12. So basically, so far, it's been a one-game series. You just got to win game one. And we went from a one-game wild card, which was nerve-wracking if your team was involved and you were the players playing, but electric if you were a third-party fan that would not have tuned in otherwise. You tuned in because that was crazy. Even our stuff covering our numbers were insane. So I always liked it for that reason, because what do you want the playoffs to be? You want people that will not tune in otherwise to tune in. I remember when the Cubs were in the elimination game, the one game wild card playoff, my neighborhood, my friends had a watch party. They didn't watch a single game that year, and they invited me. And I was like, whoa, okay, yeah, this format really drives people to the seats. I loved it. Now we've basically got the same results. If you win game one, you win the series. But instead of high drama, nighttime premier games, we are starting the wild card with a day game on a Tuesday, 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. And the stadiums can't sell out because they don't know when the games are going to be. So they can't get off work ahead of time. Like, Baltimore has a great crowd and great energy, and they have for the last couple of years. There was no one in the third deck for their wild card game because it's 3 o'clock on a Wednesday. So what we've done is we have the same results. If you win the one game, you're going to move on, but we're dragging it out for less drama. Sure, there's more TV views and TV advertisers, but I do believe there's less people watching that have never watched baseball before when the one-game playoff does. So if you want more teams in the wild card, here's my suggestion. You make it four teams the same in the wild card. The top team has to win one game. That means it is an elimination game if you are the lower wild card seed. You lose one game, you're done. The top seed has to get beat twice. So at max, you're looking at two-game series. It's not going to drag on to three. That saves you time and worry about the division winners getting cold and rusty because it goes so long without playing. And then you have high drama because all the first games are elimination games. You're going to be clenched. And then if it goes game two, well, now both teams can get eliminated. Better drama. They do this system elsewhere. That's my suggestion. If you agree with it, let me know. If you don't, let me know. If you have something better, let me know. Because I haven't like thought this. You guys are my like test audience. Like, I send ideas your way that are just in my head. And sometimes people respond and they're like, that doesn't make any sense. Jimmy forgot to think about this. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I did forget to think about this. We're just workshopping stuff here. But we got to fix it, man. It doesn't even feel like the postseason. Postseason is supposed to start with a bang. Primetime games, night air, packed stadiums, loud. We keep starting with 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock starts on a Tuesday and Wednesday when not only can fans not get there, they have to watch it on a second screen at work and sneak around. It's just so silly to me. It makes no sense. Postseason is when you're supposed to be like, boom, if you haven't tuned in all regular season, but you want to tune in because you just like sports and you want to see what's going on, here you go. And we're not doing that as a sport. We're just, that's happening the next round. And the divisional series have been amazing. The first time in a long time, there was a tweet out there, I think we tweeted even. First time in X amount of years, let me see if Talking Baseball has it. First time in X amount of years that every game, every series is tied 1-1. We got Alonzo's rally pumpkin. That's pretty awesome. Just carrying. Is it a fake pumpkin? It looks fake, but I don't think it is. Where's that stat? Where's that stat? See if I can find it on the old Twitter machine. Oh, computer's going slow. I don't like that for the rest of this show. Jazz Chisholm said the Royals got lucky. I don't like that at all. At all for my Yankees. Come on, Jazz. Be cool. This is the first time in MLB history that all four division series are tied 1-1. So I went searching for the year. I could have just been hyperbolic from the start. So that's awesome. And I'm not knocking the divisional series or the championship series, and I'm not knocking expanding it to get more teams involved. I'm fine with all of that. I just think there's better ways to make it exciting and not exciting in the first round. Before I move on to thing number two, here are some stats my guy Dalt put together. Game one winners have won all 12 games in the series. Yep, 10 of them sweeps, and then when the Mets are involved, it goes to three games. They went three games with the Padres, three games with the Brewers. The National League sixth seed has made the World Series both times, and that's the Mets this year. So maybe that rally pumpkin will make that 3-3. Every season, two plus lower seeds advance to the divisional series. The 1 and 2 seeds have made the championship series three out of eight of the time from, okay, so the 1 and 2 seeds are they get the bye. They've only made the championship series 3 out of 8 times. That is bizarre. They're supposed to be the locks for the CS, right? Yeah. Huh. So there might be detriment, or it's just the playoffs and a little bit of a crapshoot. Wild card teams 4, 5, and 6 seeds have made the championship series 5 out of 8. So the wild card round has produced more championship series teams than the 1 and 2. Yeah, that's weird. But I don't know. You don't want to build a format that just like rocks chalk the whole way and the top teams move on. You want it to be kind of a crapshoot. These are Dalt's pros and cons. Let's see. More teams in. Top two teams have 5 days not playing. My situation gets them in earlier because you have one less day. So the big questions. Is it an advantage that the top seeds gets to rest for 5 days? Definitely not an advantage. Maybe for the bullpen, but not for the hitters. Does a regular season matter if top team gets knocked out by wildcard teams? Yes. Maybe. You want to host hosting the wildcard game is more important, but I think a lot of away teams win anyway. All right, now I will move on to topic number two. I got a DM on Reddit, I believe, from KDiggy428. Hey, John Boy, love your work. I don't have Twitter, or I'd try there. Wondering if you've done any work or would be up for a breakdown looking at Diaz's slider this year compared to 2022. It seemed pretty terrible during most of his appearances, tons of spinners without nearly as much break. It obviously showed again last night. I'm not really sure he can be trusted at this point. Thanks, Kyle. And I said, yeah, I'll look into it. Sounds like a good thing for Jimmy's three things. So I haven't done this yet. So we might have to chop this up. And there might be times where I'm silent because I'm just searching for things. But I'll show you, if I were to do this on my own time, what I would go look at first. First, I would go to Baseball Savant, Edwin Diaz. And Diaz slider has always been more of a bullet slider. Not a crazy break. It's like I've always thought of his slider more as a changeup, like without crazy break, but maybe in 2022 it had it. And this chart right here is going to show you all types of stuff, and it's going to be graphed throughout the year. So if I want to go to look at just his slider, we'll toggle just slider, okay? And this is looking at usage. So he threw it 58% of the time in 2022, and then you go here to 2024, and it's down to 47, which is still higher than all the seasons before. But if you want to look at break, you can look at all this stuff. We can look at average pitch velocity, and it's way slower. It's 89 miles per hour on average this year, and in 2022 it was 90.8. So slow mile per hour down on average. Spin rate, it went up a little. That should be helpful. Well, actually, in 2022, it went down a lot because he stopped spinning it so much. All right, I'll find footage to go with this. I'm just trying to show you, this is what I would look at. So the spin rate was 2,274 in 2022, 2,296 in 2024. And then we can look at average horizontal break, which would be left to right. And his has never had a lot of that. It's just 1 inch. So it's always been more vertical break. And this is with gravity and negative 29. I think it's inches. And, oh, it's the same. So on average throughout the year, it's been the exact same. So then what I can also do is I can also just look at this season, 2024, and then look month by month to see if there's any change. And it went down to 29, which I think you want more. And it was, it's fluctuated pretty decently there. If you do without gravity, I don't know. This should be the same graph, right? Just different numbers. Yeah. Oh, 5 inches of heart vertical. So I don't see many differences here at all. The other thing you can do is do average release point. And this is what they check a lot to see if when guys get tired. When they get tired, their release point's going to be lower or closer to the mound and not as much extension. And so this looks, let's see. Okay, so his extension is getting farther and farther closer to home plate throughout the years. Look at this. So every year it starts lower and then he gets higher. That just means he's getting tired. Besides 2022, where he got stronger as he went. That's the only year where it dips down. And like I told you, this is a metric they do like kind of use to see fatigue. So I'm interested in if I go to his numbers in 2022. Pitching splits in 2022. And we're going to look at by month. And did he get better as it went? Yes. Well, July through September. I mean, June through September, he was absolutely nasty in 2022. 0.93 ERA in June, 0.00 in July, 0.84, 0.93. So let's go look at that chart. May was the worst, and that was 2022. And that doesn't fully correlate. So maybe there's nothing there. But it is interesting that every year he starts reaching more and more. I don't know what that means, to be honest with you. But some people do know what that means. I just don't. All right, let's get out of the graphs and go look at some videos. Let's go. You would go Edwin Diaz. Okay. And then let's find playoffs, pitch type, slider, and find some footage. I want to be able to compare the footage. So what I'm going to do is he hasn't pitched at home in the playoffs yet. And you can toggle the included stats and we're going to see what exactly was. The question was about break, right? Sliders this year. It seems pretty terrible. Tons of spinners, not nearly as much break. So let's go. You can, when you search this, you can toggle on to give pitch movement. So pitch downwards movement, arm side, glove side. We're going to toggle all those on and we're going to look at player and event. And then I got toggles on again because it changed. And we'll find some of the pitches he threw this year that has the most break. So downward movement with gravity. So this pitch here that he threw was a slider with the least amount of downward movement. And then this one here had the most amount of downward movement. So let's take a look at those two and see the difference. So that was the least. That's the slider that I kind of think of. It's just more of like a cutter almost and change up. It's 90 miles per hour. And you can see it's spinning, but it doesn't do a crazy amount of break, which is why this is the least break. So let's go look at now this one for comparison. It's slower. It's outside, but you can see it does dip. I want I want only from the same stadium. So this one has 30. This is a Philly. I missed a spot. Okay, hold on. How do I do this? The top one that we got that has no break. So sometimes you can do location. Well, that's downward movement. That is where his thing moves, right? Vertical movement with gravity, arm side, glove side. So this one, see, this is weird. How could you have, how could you throw a slider, a lefty maybe? No, it's him. Okay, so this had the most glove side movement, which doesn't make sense to me because he's a righty and his slider should not have glove side movement. It should go towards his. So if anyone doesn't know that term, he wears his glove on his left hand. It should have glove side movement. So the ball glove side movement means it runs towards his glove, the pitcher's glove from the pitcher's point of view. Cricket does this from the batter's point of view. They would say like offside of the batter, but we do from the pitcher. So it's going to go right to left from this view. But that didn't really do that at all. His slider doesn't move at all. It's just a changeup. I think what I'll do is, because that was supposed to have 4 inches of glove side movement, and then it looks like they've got him throwing this slider, which has 1 inch of arm side movement, which would not be a slider. I can see what they're saying, and I think, you know, it's the metrics, not like a human being doing it. So just naturally being aimed that way, and it does break that way. Let's go look at 2022 and some of his nastiest sliders and those metrics. So, and I can compare them. I also want to try and get the same venue. 2022 slider, regular season. And then he had to throw some nasty ones. Venue, we're going to go Phillies. That way I can make a, I can make an overlay and we can see what we're looking at. So his downward movement in 2022 in Philly. So same mound, same place. The highest was 35 inches and the lowest was 23. And this year in the playoffs, the highest was 34 and the lowest was 23. So that's very similar. That's very similar. And then all the other metrics are kind of the same. So I don't know. It seems like he's the same to me. Let's find one that's like in the zone so I can compare it. Pitches in the zone. And, okay, in the zone, that's over there, that's in the, all right, this one's dead center, but it's a triple. That won't work for the overlay, so I got to go find pitch result, ball, or called strike. Well, we want called strike because it's in the zone. Three of them this year. And then I'm going to take this search and I'm going to copy and paste it, but we're going to change it to 2022, not 2024. And instead of the playoffs, we'll do regular season and venue. We're going to do Philly. We got to get at least one. Okay. We got options. These are the options here. And I'm going to like that, and then I'm going to make this a new window, and these are the options here. So let's see how, let's find the most similar one. Downward movement, we got 28, 28, 29. This is 25, 24, 33. So, okay. 1 inch of glove and 6 inches gravity, and I'm going to do this. Okay, we're going to sync these up. The only thing I'm realizing is because it's a National League broadcast, we might have different camera angles. So I'm going to put a green or blue marker right the first time the ball is out of his hands. And then over here, I'm going to mark it the first time the ball's out of his hands. And then what we do is we take that, I'll get rid of the audio, and I stack them. And then I changed this effect to a lighter color. But see, they're wildly different sizes, so that's not good. Because they're two different TV networks covering them. So I'm going to try and see if I can... If they're the same camera angle, I should be able to sync it. I'm looking at the home plate right now. And then what I'll do a lot of times is look at that, the Citizens Bank sign right here. And I'm going to try and make it the same exact size. And if they're the same camera angle, then this should make it so they're on top of each other. But they're a little different because home plate is like that. See how that looks. Well, I think we found the same pitch. It's kind of cool. I don't know if it's going to give us an answer, but in its own way, that is kind of cool. So you see two balls. Yeah. So for K Diggy, whatever, what's his name? I'll be respectful. I'll make sure I know your name. K Diggy, I had it. I think his slider's the same. My conclusion is no conclusion. His slider has always had no break, in my opinion. It's always acted more of a changeup to me that he throws hard, or like a, how like a cutter and a fastball can affect people. That's what his slider and fastball do. All right. Third thing we're going to look at, which is fun because everyone likes shitting on umpires, even though it's one of the hardest jobs in the world and you or I could not do it, and they train for years and are the best at what they do, and it's still just so hard. So what I did was I did playoffs only, and then I found pitches that were in the strike zone. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, toggled all that. These pitches are in the strike zone, but they were called a ball. Okay, so these pitchers put the ball where they wanted, but it was called a ball. And then I have metric range plate Z and plate X. That's where it crosses the plate. And we're going to find the most egregious misses of the year. And I think you actually want to find like dead center here. Because this is going to be like very inside. Let's take a look. This one should be like on the edge, but called a ball. Yeah, so they are saying that clipped the zone, but it's on the edge. So if we go to the middle here where we want to get to zero. So like this pitch, unless it's high or low, but it should be pretty dead center. So it's low. They have that as a strike. All right, so let's find now on the flip side. On the high or low, we want one that's kind of in the middle too. That is like, so this is the highest pitch that was a strike but was called a ball. And sometimes, you know, we're going to see these and be like, nah, that's a ball. Like, I think that's a ball. I don't think that's a strike. And then if I do it the other way and we find this is the lowest pitch that they are saying is a strike but was called a ball, I also think that that's probably a ball. So we got to find a number in the middle here. So that's 129, and the highest was 3-something. Let's find something that's like 2-2. And then, like, this might be our best because that's close to zero on the other metric. This one. And this one. Okay, so this pitch by Daisbol Hernandez, I don't know that name, and this pitch by Seve have to be some of the more egregious misses based on the metrics. Yeah, that's a strike. Okay, so that's center cut right over the heart of the plate, and that's at his knees. Well, he kind of stands up still, and the ump's really low, so maybe that hurts him. I got that as a strike. And then this was the other one. My guy, Luis Severino, Cody Clemens. Whoa. How is that not a strike? Same thing. See, these batters are kind of stealing strikes. See how he straightens his knees and stands up real tall and he's not in a hitting position? I bet if he went down in a hitting position, the ump might call that because that's a strike. Okay, so those are the most egregious that way. Now, the more fun ones that everyone likes to see is this page where I did. These pitches were not in the zone, but they were called a strike. And we have the plate X and plate Z toggled. So this is going to be the lowest pitch that was called a strike. And this is going to be, or the most inside, most outside. This is going to be the lowest, and this is going to be the highest pitch that were called strikes that were not strikes. That is this is Andy Fletcher. He had a terrible game. Called a lot of bad pitches. That is inside. And he's doing a good job as a batter. Maybe he oversold it, so the ump got mad at him. Nah, he was missing on that side the whole time. All right, Eli Morgan called strike on Colt Keith. Eli Morgan and Colt Keith, that sounds like some outlaw names from like the West. Like they could have been in the same group that robbed banks with Jesse James. Eli Morgan and Colt Keith. I guess Eli Morgan would probably be the banker that got robbed by Colt Keith. Oh, look at Keith turn to the ump. Just be like, what? Let's watch that again. Look at the batter. Whoa, dude. That is a quick turn when he hears strike. Yeah, it's not a strike. How in the shit is that called a strike? And that's the most off the plate to the left pitch that's called a strike. And this is the most off the plate to the right, from the pitcher's point of view, that's been called a strike. And now we have, this is going to be the highest or lowest, I forget. The lowest. Oh, that stinks, dude. That is so low. You know what? I'm going to pause on this one because I want to see the side angle of it. So let's remember it. And then let's go watch this one. This is the highest pitch called a strike. Oh, another great reaction from the batter, Gunnar Henderson. This doesn't seem that egregious, but watch after the ump calls strike, that turn. It's like almost a robot turn of just like the bottom half. Huh? All right. The Royals have the most as a team. Where's the one I want to remember? This one? I'm going to place that over here. This is fun. Royals fans, you'll find this really fun. You'll enjoy this a ton. In this postseason, most pitches that have been outside the zone but called a strike for the pitcher. So this is the pitcher is getting the benefit. The Royals are number one. They've gotten their pitching staff has gotten the most help per Baseball Savant this postseason. They've played more games because they were in the wild card. Detroit and the Mets are right behind. Those are the pitchers that got the most help. Now, the other way we look at it, this is pitches that were in the zone. They were in the zone, but called a ball. So these are the pitchers that got the least help and sorted by team. And you're going to like this, Royals. You're up top again. So you have just had the most incorrect calls called as a team. You're like lapping the field. You had 16 that hurt you and 11 that helped you. So you're negative five on the ump score. But 27 pitches have been called incorrectly for the Royals this postseason. The next highest is probably the Mets with 23, and then the Tigers with 19. So that Andy Fletcher game for the Mets was brutal. I think that's the whole show. That's everything. Thanks for watching.